Ryan Reynolds here from Mint Mobile.
With the price of just about everything going up during inflation, we thought we'd bring our prices down. So to help us, we brought in a reverse auctioneer, which is apparently a thing.
Mint Mobile Unlimited Premium Wireless. I bet you get 30, 30, I bet you get 30, I bet you get 20, 20, 20, I bet you get 20, 20, I bet you get 15, 15, 15, 15, just $15 a month, sold.
Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
Mom deserves the best, and there's no better place to shop for Mother's Day than Whole Foods Market. They're your destination for unbeatable savings, from premium gifts to show-stopping flowers and irresistible desserts. Start by saving 33% with Prime on all body care and candles. Then get a 15-stem bunch of tulips for just $9.99 each with Prime. Round out Mom's menu with festive rosé, irresistible berry chantilly cake, and more special treats. Come celebrate Mother's Day at Whole Foods Market.
Welcome to the Cookbook Circle podcast. I'm Hannah.
And I'm Victoria.
We're two friends with a shared love of food, cooking, and all things cookbooks.
We are now in the third season of this podcast. Ooh. And this one is all about, well, not really anything in particular. We are themeless. So you can expect deep dives on certain dishes, reviews of cookbooks, of course, but there'll be new cookbooks, old cookbooks, all sorts of cookbooks. And of course, we'll be asking you, our lovely listeners, for some input on episodes that we're going to do.
It's going to be so fun. And if you love what we do, we're also on Patreon. This means if you'd like to support us, your subscription will help to cover the podcast's costs, from the books themselves to the ingredients for what we cook. And in return, you'll get some fun stuff like bonus mini-sodes. To find out more, visit our website, thecookbookcircle.com, or you can find the link in our show notes. Thanks, friends. Now, let's get to the fun part. Hello, Victoria.
Hi, Hannah.
How you doing? Chickadoodle, snickety, snickety, sweet pea, snookity, snookums.
I'm good. Better now, actually, that you've just called me snickety, stickety, snookums.
Anytime.
It is a rainy, rainy, rainy day in the west of England, and that's sad. But a third of my bank holiday puking.
So you were so ill, you poor thing.
I was really ill. But for everyone listening who may think that I'm pregnant, I'm not. Because I just got sick.
Do tell us why.
Because I'm not.
Give us the full detail.
Anyway, I'm not. For anybody listening who has heard that I've been sick and may think that's the reason, it's not.
Me neither. Just FYI.
But everyone was a lot less suspecting of that one. Puking virus aside, rain aside.
I'm good, Hannah. I'm good.
Yeah.
We're entering into this therapy session that obviously these are
lie
for
lie back
me.
On the couch. Well, it's not the first time I said that this weekend, let me tell you.
And that, ladies and gentlemen, is why I'm not pregnant. Sorry, we can get that. Right, I am having one of those months where everything I do in the kitchen, cooking wise, is just going wrong. I am in a deep no confidence hole in my cooking, and it's really sad.
Talk me through this. Is there a pattern we can identify?
I think it's not me. I think it's the recipe. No, I'm joking. Well, you know, if you are a Patreon listener and you'll have heard our minisode about the coronation quiche, it kind of started there. My pastry didn't cook.
But mine didn't either.
But Hannah's didn't either. So that makes me feel a little bit better.
Bad
but
recipe.
just There's some other, just like I have baked some stuff from a book that will feature in a future episode of the Cookbook Circle, so I don't really want to talk about it too much, but
sure,
I've baked like 4 things from there now, and like not one of them has been great.
Oh dear.
Yeah, and that annoyed me, and then like I just, you know, when you're doing stuff and you're like, why isn't this working? Like, yeah, sometimes I don't know if it's just like I am losing it, or just, you know, makes me feel like I'm not very good, and it makes me want to give up on cooking. And
shush.
But I don't, because it just cooking makes me so happy, and that I feel, but I need something at the end of it that is worth it, right?
Yeah, there's no worse feeling, right? Like, it's just so demoralizing, because you just don't have dinner at the end of it, or you don't have dessert or whatever particular thing you were looking forward to.
Yes.
That's shit.
And 2 of these things that I baked this last weekend were going to go to people, right? A couple of neighbors that have done some kind things, and I was like, oh, I want to bake them something to say thank you. And now I have nothing to give them. I have to try again. And that's annoying. And it's just like, I'm having one of those just, funk. It's just, I don't know. How, yeah, I'm in a funk.
It's a funk.
And what annoys me about that is that it means that you just go to your, like, your safety recipes, right? Or you stop cooking a bit and you step back. And I don't want to do that. No. I did make nachos, which is often a very good and I don't mean, you know, when I say I made nachos, what I mean is you want to come to my house for fucking nachos, because that shit bangs when I'm here. And I thought that helped, because, you know, I, you know, slow cook some meat, and, you know, nice. You layer them up, because if you're not layering your nachos, then you're an idiot. Made guac with like a million avocados, because I had, and that was something that went right for me. I had like 5 avocados that were all perfectly ripe.
Now, what are the odds of that? That in itself is a miracle.
So maybe things are on the top, but then I got sick. So I don't think it was from the nachos, because, you know, more than one of us ate that, and it was only me who was sick. But yeah, I just I'm struggling a bit, so I need to pull myself out of that.
Look, you know, maybe our next book will help you to do that. You've reminded me of one of my favourite photos I ever posted on Facebook. Karen alert over here. But it was a few years ago. And it was when I lived in Dubai and I was making brownies. I baked a lot there because I lived with 4 other people and there was just always someone to eat stuff, and it was great. And I was baking some brownies. And I was doing it in a loose bottom tin, and I went to move them or something in the oven, and they just all started like slow splurging out of a gap in the tin. And this is a huge metaphor for my life, instead of facing up to the issue, I just closed the oven door. And then at like, alien style, the brownie batter just started seeping through the gap in the oven, and I took a photo, and I'm wearing these like adorable bunny slippers that I loved. And it just, I remember at that time being a time where just like shit was just not going right for me, and that was another, like, sometimes I think it's when you're tired or you're trying to do things too quickly, or, you know, there's external
trying
factors
to do a million things at once.
So
maybe I just need to take a step back.
You need to recalibrate.
Yeah, I do. But anyway, so that may feed into some of my opinion. I'll get a new cookbook. Maybe I should treat myself to a little nice cookbook. You know, I went into, I was in London this week, as you know, working. And on my way home, I went into a big bookshop, Foyles, at Tottenham Court Road.
Oh.
And I happened to go into the cooking section, which I just love it. It's so, I mean, I love anything like that. I never buy anything because, you know, it's expensive, and I had a lot of stuff to carry anyway. But it's just so good.
Yeah.
And it gives you a lot of like inspiration. It's like books you haven't seen before, you've only seen online, you're like, oh, that is a lovely book, or oh, well, maybe that isn't the book that I want. It's nice to have a little flick through.
And fascinating to see what they're like putting up front, or like the books that they're pushing. I feel like you and me need to go to that bookshop in Notting Hill, isn't it? That's only for cookbooks. Is that what it's called?
Yes, that's what it's called, yeah.
I want to drop them a business card, because that is a ripe partnership if ever I heard one.
Yes. They have a kitchen as well at the back, and a little cafe, I think.
Yes. Oh, my God.
Also, we need to go to that cookbook shop in Los Angeles, which would be a better trip than Notting Hill. Probably about the same amount of time for both of us to get to Notting Hill and LA.
If any of our lovely American listeners would love to sponsor our trip to LA, we will entertain you all day long. You can have as many exclusive episodes as And I would get to eat In-N-Out Burger for the first time, which is like, I think the only time that I would break my vegetarianism is to have
it. I think I would.
Yeah, I feel like I know too. I've like heard too much about this. Like, I would just eat it. I'd eat
that. I have an artwork of In-N-Out Burger in my kitchen, as Hannah knows. And I've long thought about getting a tattoo of their little palm, their red palm trees.
You should do that.
I think that would be good. I think I've seen people have them like on my wrist or something. I just think it'd be great. Anyway.
You've seen people on your wrist?
No, I've
tiny little people.
The people on my wrist are talking to me and telling me to get a tattoo of the In-N-Out Burger palm trees.
Today we're talking about a cookbook. Sorry, that was a swift. There was no but. Is everyone feeling okay? There was no but.
Let me see your butt, Hannah. How many times?
My butty. My two nieces in Abu Dhabi, Ada and Elsie, have like a funny little dance that they do, which is like, and they shake their, I think it's Elsie actually, the younger one. And they do this thing where they shake their bum and they go, my butty. It's really basic, but really funny.
And frankly, everything I know about Elsie, she could be on the show. She's a comedian, right? Like, she's so funny.
Elsie was born funny. She's the funniest child.
We should get her on. I want to hear about our butty.
She would rinse both of us. She is like the most brutal. Like, she's 4 years old, and she was absolutely ripping the piss out of me for calling my dog Doug. And she was like, Auntie Hannah, why do you call your dog Doug? Your dog, Doug, Dougie, dog, dog.
And frankly, that's the comedy that the world needs.
She is fantastic.
We love her. Let's get her on. She's next week's guest.
Sorry.
She's coming to LA with us.
And she loves food. She lets herself into the fridge, just like ba 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 ba, walks into the kitchen, da 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 da, like opens the fridge door and just like, and my sister's like, no, no, you don't. Anyway,
no, you don't.
We're talking about a cookbook. We're doing this is slightly different because I guess we haven't decided to do a new cookbook or one that anyone's recommended. This, for the first time, is a book that we feel that we both have and enjoy, I think, for the most part. Mm-hmm. TBC. And wanted to talk about because it's just one that's like become a major part of our lives.
I just feel like we've mentioned this book a lot and on previous episodes of the pod. Yeah. And it just deserves its own place in the sun.
It does.
To quote my favourite BBC show.
I fucking love that show. It's flavour.
What's your flavour?
Tell me what's your flavour.
Before we actually go into the content of the book, can I just say that everyone will know what this book looks like. The British cover. It's white with this like multicolored onion on the front.
Multicolored onion, bad name of the week.
Bad name of the week. Also, Yes, so it's this onion on the onion on the front, but this is maybe one of this is controversial opinion.
Yeah,
alert. This is maybe one of the only cookbooks in recent time that I prefer the American cover.
Okay,
it's the American cover's got like I think it's like a dark color, and then it's got the word flavor, and in the letters it's got like pictures of like produce and things like that.
Ooh, I think I remember, and I just, from the farmer's market.
Yeah, from the farmer's market.
Oh, I've looked it up. I find it fascinating that they changed them for the markets. Isn't it mad?
Yeah, it is weird, and it's often like, you know, I say often the American cover is worse, but there's something about this cover that I never really loved, and I always thought that one was a bit more, it's like photographic, right? They're like photographs of produce, whereas this is obviously quite conceptual. It's just a picture of an onion, or like a embossed rainbow onion.
Yeah, it's very rainbowy, I think. Yeah, for me actually the photography is wonderful in this. It's beautiful as you would expect, but like there's the kind of there's like weird little illustrations at the front that are cute, like a little mouse having a glass of wine and stuff. Cute, but then that's really at odds with the multicolored onion and the big like rainbow inside cover. I feel like it's a bit all over the place aesthetically.
Yeah, the art style is it's like they've got three or four different art, like an aubergine and what looks like a pepper in like a soup bath together.
Yeah,
they have faces. Yeah,
when's the last
weird
time you took a soup bath?
not recent enough, let me tell you.
That really reminds me of Sex and the City when they go to the this is not safe for work, but when they go to the Playboy Mansion and then there's loads of topless girls in a like jacuzzi and Miranda says, oh look, tit soup.
That's funny.
That's great.
And that's really funny, Miranda.
Yes, so we...
Yeah, so by the way, it's by Ottolenghi.
Yes.
Yotam Ottolenghi and Easter Belfridge.
Two of the greats.
Two of the greats from this podcast and life. Obviously, if you're a long-time listener, first-time caller, you... if you're a long-time listener...
I enjoy that way too much.
I love that you enjoy that. You know that we won't be talking about Yotam Ottolenghi or Easter Belfridge because we've already talked about them as people. Go back and listen to the many episodes on Ottolenghi or the one episode on Mezclar by Easter Belfridge.
If you were to do a control F on like Ottolenghi mentions it's me in every episode.
Me.
It's me. Shall I tell you a little bit about the background of the book, though, rather
Please.
Than the chefs? So it's Yotam's eighth book, and I think it was Easter's first, but she'd been working at his test kitchen for 4 years before they brought it out. And so he's got this kind of bit in the front. Before he starts talking about her or whatever, he talks about kind of vegetables. And how he's always loved them.
Shocker.
Yeah. But you mean, yeah, like, I mean, the man has done veg a great service. You know, he didn't think that there were more ways to kind of prepare a certain vegetable, like to fry an aubergine. But actually he finds that there's just like more and more ways every time. And that the three P's are really important to him. So like process, pairing and produce. So obviously, like, how you do it, what you put it with, and how good the quality of the ingredient is.
Which is how this book is, like, split up,
yes,
right?
So he talks as well about how, like, you know, if you want to eat more veg or if you want to become vegetarian, that the, like, last thing to do is to, like, go cold turkey. You should just kind of phase it in and try to do, like, these creative things and do exciting things. But then he starts talking about Easter. So he says that all of the... There's loads of elements in this book that have come from her. So chilies and limes. There's lots of limes.
A lot of limes in all their forms.
Yeah. Quick pickles. Then that's the fingerprints of Easter Belfridge. And she's like really detail obsessed. But I really like the way he talks about her, because it's not, she didn't have a straightforward journey into food. She grew up in London. But obviously, as we know from Mezcla, that she has like influences from Brazil and Italy and stuff like that as well.
Yeah.
But that she, apparently it was her sister one day who said to her, why the F aren't you a chef? And then that kind of like made her, which I think is the only time you'll see a swear word in a Naughty Lanky book, by the way. Swear word, naughty. But it's like,
you're naughty.
You're naughty. And then that made her realize that she really wanted to cook professionally. So that she was like running a small catering thing. And then she had a market stall making tacos. And then she applied for a job at Nopi. And then less than a year later, one of Oshalengi's restaurants. And then less than a year later, she arrived in his test kitchen. And he just talks about how he says something about she had no formal training and a modest amount of experience, but she had a mountain of knowledge, creativity and talent, which I just think is really nice, because it's like, yeah, you don't need that. Like, you don't need the least certificate or anything like that.
You just need a good palate.
A good palate. And like, exposure to different cultures.
Yeah.
Sorry, it's a lot of American accent today. Not sure what's brought that through.
It's from a trip to LA.
They also pay tribute a lot to this lady, Tara, who apparently tested loads of the recipes and kind of helped them structure it. And other people in the test kitchen, like Noor, who does the test kitchen books with him as well.
Yes.
She kind of comes up a little bit. But then, so when we talked about the kind of structuring, they also have this like, yeah, so it's process, how to ramp up flavor, pairing, how it can be dialed up. Whether you pair it with sweet, fat, acid, chili, heat, and then produce shines a light on some key vegetables, namely mushrooms. I avoided the whole mushroom section of this, by the way. I don't love mushrooms. Alliums, nuts and seeds and sugar. But then they have this flavor bomb section. And apparently they had a few working titles for the book. And one of them was the Oshalengi F-bomb.
Nice.
Which they... Nice. Ditch, but I'm kind of sad that they did.
Yeah.
But I feel like this book just had a vast amount of PR.
Oh my God.
It came out during lockdown, I think. I think it was like 2021. And I bought it from my sister Earth. And I remember leafing through it when it got it. And I was like, oh shit, I think I need to get this too. When did you buy it? Did you buy it at the time?
I think I must have bought it fairly, I don't remember. I definitely bought it for myself because nobody buys me cookbooks, really, because they're worried that I already have them whatnot. But I think the hype was unreal. And as we know, I don't usually buy into the Oshalengi hype. So no. I've got no idea what it was that convinced me. Maybe it was you who convinced me to buy it, or whether I'd seen like another Instagram post about it and I was like, fuck it, I'm going to get it.
Was it on like an Amazon special? I think it maybe was on like an Amazon special or something.
Yeah, which I probably was like, oh, they're never on an Amazon special. Sorry, I do buy things from Amazon. I've definitely had it for a while. It's definitely moved house with me, so I must have had it in London. Yeah, but it is great. Like it's definitely it sits towards the front of my cookbook shelves, as it, you know, I pick it up way more than I don't, if that makes sense.
Yeah. I personally am thrilled that we're doing this episode, as you know, but I'm shocked that this has become, like, this is the first kind of one that we've done like this, where it's just like, oh, hey, we talk about this book loads, so let's kind of spotlight it. But the fact that it's this one, I feel like this book for me is shit, I'm having people around on Friday, which has been the case for the last couple of weeks.
Yeah, Hannah's and been like posting consistently.
But I know you love menu suggestion. And I feel like this book does it really well. But at the back, so it does like one pan ready in 30 minutes or 1 hour. And then it's like low effort, high impact, make ahead. Then it's just like feasts, so like Mexican feast, brunch spread, East Asian. And I actually did, I was really lacking inspiration recently for a dinner party. And I just turned to this and I was like, shit, like, please help me out. Because what happened was, and I don't think any of the members involved listen to the podcast, so this is fine, but I was planning the Massaman curry from East and the banana tart tatin from East, which I did make in the end. But I just, before I went to the shop, like a few hours before people arrived, I was like, hey, does anyone have any allergies or hatreds? And then one of the guys was like, oh, I just fucking hate peanuts. And I was like, oh god, loads of peanut butter in the Massaman, and I was gonna sprinkle over like roasted of peanuts. I was like, shit. So I ran to this book and turned straight to the like feast bit and the kind of menus bit, and then I just pulled it together based on this. So thanks, Easter.
Yeah, it is. That is a real special, and it's not like it's definitely not a second thought in this, but the menus and feasts, like, it's really well thought out. You know, it's not everything together. It's like, serve this with rice, serve this with flatbreads, like, which they're not really recipes for. Like, it's just like, this is what you could eat this with. And I love that. I love it. And I appreciate that, as we know.
For exactly you.
Thank you.
I think we're going to talk about one recipe each that we've made in detail. I'm going to find it really hard. I've made loads of things from this. And I think I'll give like a mini shout out to as many as I can. So it's hard for me to pick the one, you know, in life and also in this cookbook. But yeah.
We're doing your therapy now?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Okay. I'm lying on the one. Okay. So you lie on back on my couch.
It's just like... like nobody really gets me.
Apart from Yotam Ottolenghi.
I know, he's the one. Actually, that's probably my problem.
Also, just to say, this is it's a veggie cookbook, right? There's no meat in here or fish. They do reference it, like you could make this and serve it with chicken, serve it with some simple blah blah blah. That does come up, but it's all vegetarian.
Yeah, and again, like, one that you kind of wouldn't even realize, until, like, yeah, they're just great. This really launched Easter, didn't it? Like, I feel like she was everywhere after this, and then got Mezcla deal, and deservedly so. Bloody love her. Bit of a crush, I think.
And it's such a, like, you know, just talking about it, it's such there's such a range of recipes in terms of, like, not just flavours, which I love that. Mm. Like you said, like, there's a Mexican feast, like, there's Mexican inspiration. There's a lot of, like, miso and like, those kind of East Asian recipes in there. But it's just also of difficulty. There's some stuff that's really easy.
Yeah.
And... frankly, I would love a Claire Saffitt style matrix of what's hard and what's
that would be easy.
Because some of it is easy but with difficult ingredients, and some of it is difficult with easy ingredients, and some of it's somewhere in the middle.
Yeah.
And I think it's just you do have to kind of really look at the recipe before you start or commit to it, because you could
bugger yourself.
Yeah, something could be thrown up.
Yeah, like the za'atar cacio e pepe. Like, I've made that for myself. Like, Sunday night, want something nice, but don't want to spend like fucking ages in the kitchen. And
you've probably got all those things in, right?
Yeah, it's great. Oh, I've made so much. Mostly for hosting, though. I won't lie. It's not like I'm cracking this out on a Tuesday night.
Yeah.
So, do you want to talk about your kind of star dish?
Yeah, I mean, I don't know if I'm going to talk about star dish, because I also have made quite a lot from it. I think the miso onions are a great place to start. If anybody gets this book off the bat or has it and you haven't made those yet,
they
are so good. And it's incredible. Just onions, butter and miso.
Yeah.
And they're just like so roasted, and they are incredible.
Incredible.
Like, inspired, frankly, even though they're not really anything.
They take a while in the oven, is all I'll say.
Yeah.
Maybe not, like, cost of living crisis friendly.
No.
They're, like, quite hot.
But you could have them... Yeah, you make a lot, have them for... The little condiment, yeah, they're great. That is a great place to start.
Oh, they're just honestly one of the best things.
As like a little side in like an alternative Sunday lunch or something.
Yeah. Perfect.
They'd probably go really nicely actually with some like really like a meat, like a roast beef or like even a steak. Like
yeah.
So
imagine them in like a tart to tan kind of situation.
Yes. So oh my good. God. I feel like I'm gonna make I got loads actually in my odd box this week of like tiny little like white onions. Like they're like tiny like ones.
Julia
like,
Child. Julia Child that always loved the tiny onions?
Yeah, that I had to find like little tiny like marble like
for
pickling onions for my beef bourguignon.
Yes, that was it.
Anyway, but something I've been wanting to make for ages from here that I had never made before, but I decided to make it this week knowing that we were going to do this episode, was the lime and coconut potato gratin.
Oh!
And we have talked about this loads because we get mixed up. So the lime and coconut potato gratin is from Flavour, and then Mezcla has like a Thai red curry potato gratin.
Sweet potato one, yes.
Yeah, and I always get confused about which is which, but this one is Flavour.
Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds. At Mint Mobile, we like to do the opposite of what Big Wireless does. They charge you a lot, we charge you a little. So naturally, when they announced they'd be raising their prices due to inflation, we decided to deflate our prices due to not hating you. That's right. We're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month. Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows. Full terms at mintmobile.com.
There's never been a faster or easier way to start your weight loss journey than with PlushCare. PlushCare accepts most insurance plans and gives you online access to board-certified physicians who can prescribe FDA-approved weight loss medications like Wegovy and Zepbound for those who qualify. Take charge of your health and speak with a board-certified physician about a weight loss plan that's right for you. Get started today at plushcare.com/weightloss. That's plushcare.com/weightloss. plushcare.com/weightloss.
So it's normal white potatoes, whatever you call them, and it's lime and coconut. And it just looks so fun. And the preamble says it was part of a Christmas feast that they created for The Guardian. It's on page 72 if you want to get to it. Which also included a roasted Szechuan lamb shoulder, steamed aubergine, blah, blah, blah. So it does take a long time.
Yeah. Oh, yes.
Longer than I...
Beautiful.
It also is vegan because it's... You use like a...
Coconut cream.
You use coconut cream.
Yeah.
And you can just use vegetable stock. So basically, you mandolin or very finely chop 1.4 kilograms of potatoes. He suggests Yukon Gold, but who can ever find those anywhere? So I just use like fancy baking potatoes, and 4 or 5 banana shallots, and some garlic cloves, and you, so you mandolin all of that,
right?
And then in the pan that you're probably going to, whether you're going to cook, he asks a 28 centimeter oven proof saute pan. I have a, just like a wide La Cruze dish, which I used. You fry the shallots, garlic, oil, and some salt until they're like soft and golden.
Mm-hmm.
And then what you do is you put those aromatics into a large bowl, and then you add in the potatoes and 100 grams of melted coconut cream.
Nice.
Along with the juice of 3 limes.
Of course.
And you just kind of, and then you kind of mix them you know, yeah, gently, so you don't break them.
Yeah.
And then you put, you start to put them. So he says, like, put some of that mixture, the potato mixture, into the pan. Like, you can use, like, the broken bits of potato. And then you start, like, layering it like a gratin, like, in a circular pattern.
Right.
Layer them all up. Lovely, lovely, lovely. And then you pour 200 mils of vegetable stock or chicken stock. I used vegetable over the top. You cover that with foil tightly. Mm-hmm. I have a lid, so I just put the lid on. Put it in the oven at 180 for 40 minutes. Nice. And then whilst it's in the oven, so that's not the end to the cooking. This is why it takes long time. So whilst you're cooking that, there's like crispy aromatics on top, which is chilies, garlic, ginger, and spring onions, all like chopped finely, julienned. And it's quite a lot of oil, 150 mils. So you basically cook all those in the oil and then you make like a flavorful oil. After 40 minutes, you pour some of that oil into your gratin.
Ooh.
Take the top off and then cook it for another 50 minutes, top off. Yeah. Jeez. It's
I only like being cooked with my top off.
same. and only for 50 minutes. And then you increase the heat to 200 degrees for the last 5 minutes to make it golden brown and crispy. And then you sprinkle your like fried chilies and stuff over the top. And then add a little bit of salt in that. And what a joy. Again, I made this and then got a little bit sick. Not because of this. So I didn't get to eat as much of it as I would have liked. But the little bit that I had after I finished cooking it was great.
Really?
Like, what a fun way to eat potatoes. Like, yeah, with that, like coconut cream. Zingy. Yeah. Like so there's lime, the zest of your three limes also goes on the top. It's not flavors that you think to put with
potatoes.
Baked potatoes.
Yeah.
The
Irish people are very afraid. I won't lie. Speaking on behalf of them, but I think I can talk them around.
I think they would love this.
Really?
You know, speaking to them as I can. It's great. It obviously takes a long time, but it's not hard.
No.
And there's nothing in there that would be difficult to get. You get coconut cream in like the Asian section I got of my supermarket. It comes in like a block, right?
Yes.
A creamed coconut, and I just melted it in the microwave. And it's vegan. It'd be a lovely, yeah, like side dish to either meat or whatever else, but would recommend.
I love food.
Me too. I would say, yeah, if you know, obviously you've got your oven on for quite a long time. There is so much in here. The other things that I've cooked that I really like, so miso onions, I think we've both made this, and maybe you'll talk about this, so I don't want to say too much about it, but the stuffed aubergine in a curry and coconut dal.
I haven't messed around. Made that.
Oh, you haven't, that one?
No, but I've heard it's delicious but faffy.
Yeah, I haven't messed around with the stuffed aubergine, but the curry and coconut dal I've made a few times, and I also made a huge batch of it to freeze when I was pregnant.
That's right.
To have in the freezer, because it's delicious, and it's, you know, obviously like lentils are great for all that good stuff after you have a baby, and they're just nice. It freezes well, etc. It's great. I can't find it right now, but there's a like a bread salad, like a panzanella. Oh, yes. A panzanella, fairly standard, but then it's got like some it's got some extra something here. That's great. I know you don't like mushrooms. You said you skip this, but the spicy mushroom lasagna.
Yes. Is that the
desperate
one?
To make that.
I think that Ashlengi like shouts one of those. Is that the only lasagna? He shouts out a lasagna in the intro as like one of Issa's like amazing recipes, and I think that's one of them.
I feel like she's into zhuzhing up lasagnas, right? Because there's that shrimp one in
Mezcla,
who one of our Instagram followers says she made recently, and it was great. It's and I'm desperate to make it, but yeah. I need to have people to cook for because it seems to be a bit of labor of love. So I need to do that. Yeah, and so one of my recent kitchen disasters was actually the hummus in this.
Yes. Disappointed about that.
Which is, yeah, me too. And again, it was probably my fault, but it just wasn't as like creamy and, oh my God, sorry, I've just seen a recipe that I'm, again, desperate to make but haven't. It's the Swede gnocchi with miso butter.
Yes, we have talked about that on the pod many times.
Always, because I always get Swedes and I'm always like, I'm going to make it, but I just never had the time.
Yeah.
But, you know, delicious. Yeah, I don't know what happened with my... I soaked chickpeas and everything. Like I went dry chickpeas, but it was just, there just it wasn't enough moisture. And I tried to add more and more and more tahini and olive oil, but anyway, it's fine. Like I said, I'm in a bit of a funk, but I've cooked loads of it. I love it. I also go to it if I'm like entertaining or I want to take something somewhere. Mm-hmm. Yeah, big fan. What is your hero dish that you might talk about?
I might.
You have to. You have no choice.
Quickly, before I get to that, I want to say on the hummus thing, one of my favourite hummus recipes, and maybe I've talked about it on an old pod, is from Food 52, and it's called like Zehiv's Hummus Bitahina, which is the kind of Arabic...
Yeah.
Name for it, which is like the great silky hummus that has like excessive amounts of
silky tahini. Hummus is another great
band name. Yeah, silky hummuses. So if anyone's looking for like one of the best hummus recipes, it's a bit faffy, but it's called Zahav's Hummus Tahina on Food 52, and I mentioned it to a friend recently and they made it. They texted me being like, oh my God, this is so delicious. Like I could eat this with a spoon. It's incredible.
Yes, I want to make this because I'm looking it up right now. Yeah, we're silky hummus fans in this house. And by house, I mean pod.
It's why we love Sabra. So I could talk all day about things that I have made. I'll briefly talk about some of the things I've made. Curried carrot mash with brown butter. I made that as part of a spread for my sister and Alyssa coming. And that was really, really delicious. It's just like a mash, carrot, delicious salad thing.
Yeah.
I've made the one pan arancetti puttanesca, which is great. Slightly low maintenance for... Ottolenghi has like capers and olives and stuff like that, and it's just delicious.
So good. Did I tell you that I've decided that our next cat is going to be called Puttanesca?
No, that's wonderful. I think if I had a cat, I might call it Ottolenghi.
Oh, I like that. Otto. Otty.
Otto, yeah. Yeah, cute. Big shout out to the black lime tofu. On page 1.
That looks so good. I've never made that. You've made that?
Yeah, I bought black limes especially to make that. And I actually think right now I have almost everything in my fridge to make it. And I'm going to make it again tomorrow. Incredible flavour. Like really zingy with the black limes. Because you just like blitz them into a sauce. Delicious. Oh. I also made recently for a picnic... the roasted carrot salad with chamoy, and I'm not saying that right, but chamoy it's like this dressing on the roasted carrots, and it's like dried apricots, maple syrup, sumac, quite a lot of sumac, lime juice, classic, Aleppo chili, garlic clove, olive oil, and you just like roast your carrots and then you dress it in this, and with the sumac and the lime and the chili, oh my God, it was so delicious.
Would you say it was a flavor bomb?
I'd say it's an Ottolenghi F-bomb. And last one, I mean, there's loads. No, two more. Saffron tagliatelle with ricotta and crispy chipotle shallots was what I ended up making for that dinner party.
Yes.
and it was delicious. I've never really cooked with saffron before because
just to say it was payday.
Yeah,
yeah. And Hannah was like, "Fuck it, I'm gonna go buy some saffron."
It was like, whoa, big spender. But I served it with the olive oil flatbreads with three garlic or tomato salsa. I can't remember what they call it. No, that's it. Olive oil flatbreads with three garlic butter. And you make.
Did you find black garlic? Does it have black garlic?
Hell no. Like, where are people getting black garlic? I don't understand.
Where are people getting any of these things?
Yeah, but that one is delicious. And I think I made the flatbreads. Maybe I overproofed them or something. They were a bit too crispy. I felt like they needed to be softer, but the toppings and everything. Oh my God, it's actually making my mouth water. But the thing I'm going to talk about, which probably you have already guessed and you were close enough to with your aubergine reference, was the aubergine dumplings a la Parmigiana.
Yeah.
Which I think is like just the perfect entry level Ottolenghi recipe for entertaining, or I don't know, just someone who's maybe a bit funny about different things. But it's just like you make these lovely little dumplings that are almost like meatballs, and then I've served them with tagliatelle and a focaccia or something, and I just think it's a great dinner. So it's kind of all the classic flavors of aubergine parmigiana, so like tomato, cheese, aubergine. But what you do is you toast some breadcrumbs first, and you bake or roast some aubergines kind of chopped up into cubes for 30 minutes until they're quite cooked through, and then you chop those aubergines into a mash and you let them cool, and then you add in loads of ricotta and parmesan, and that just oh my God, parsley, egg, egg yolk, flour, the breadcrumbs, garlic, basil, salt, pepper, so loads of things, and then you shape them into dumplings. And then you just fry them in a frying pan, like in a couple of batches. I'm a bad batch. And then you
never a bad batch when it comes to Ottolenghi's dumplings.
No, I'm Ottolenghi's batch, and
that you are.
So you fry them all off and you set them aside, and then you make like a delicious tomato sauce with tinned tomatoes, garlic, tomato puree, sugar, chili flakes, paprika, oregano, salt, and then it's just like this the most flavorful. I love that, like, people like Ottolenghi and Mira Soda, for me, the really good chefs tell you to put a fucking teaspoon of salt into a tomato sauce, because it's like, it needs that much.
Yeah.
And just exactly how much, like even with sugar, 1.5 teaspoons of sugar, because you need, they're like bitter. And then you basically just like put the sauce into a baking dish, put the dumplings on, you bake it all for 20 minutes, and then you scatter over some olives, basil and parmesan. And it's
like my mouth is like watering. Like, it's got so many lovely little.
Honestly, if we ever started a sandwich shop, which we would love to do, these would be such a good like sandwich filler.
Yes.
But I treat them like meatballs, like I said, and I serve them with pasta. But honestly, I can't even remember what they say to do. Serve with spaghetti, rice, or some sauteed greens. So they're just like really flexible, but they are like a huge standout for me. I just love them.
It's a great book, lads.
It's an excellent
book. That does sound good. I've just seen another recipe that I'm desperate to make. But again, it's the turnip cake. Turnip cake is one of my favourite dim sum things. He makes it with, or they make it with, daikon, not even turnip or sweet, like,
oh wow,
maybe that's what it's made with, I don't know, but I always love it at dim sum. And but you need Thai white rice flour, which it's noted is not interchangeable with the glutinous variety or with regular rice flour. I feel like I don't need that many rice flours in my life, you know.
No.
He makes it with soy maple nuts for the top, and I just feel on, that's delicious. And you know who, because I think that probably usually turnip cakes come with like bacon in them, right? So you know, not particularly vegetarian. It's just great.
It is great. The one thing I would say is that the dessert section doesn't hugely appeal to me.
No.
It's
all a bit puddingy.
Like, yeah, there's a flan that looks like a big old wibbly wobbly wonder. Tapioca fritters. I'm not a huge fan. That's what they called me in school. What, flan?
No, wibbly wobbly wonder.
Flan's quite a funny, cute nickname though. Yeah, just a lot of it doesn't really appeal. I don't know why. Considering coffee and pandan, there's just nothing that really jumps out at me. There is a cute like lemon sorbet that they pipe into lemons, like, you know. But nice. Yeah, I just don't.
That's
yeah.
Very like 70s.
Yeah, it doesn't really jump out.
It's great. There is a lot of there is some recipes, like some ingredients that like throw you off, and there is like a list at, you know, like, oh, at the front it's called like flavors 20
ingredients
or whatever, so you know what you're kind of getting yourself into, but you know, you may have to order something if, you know, your local shops might not have some of this stuff, like black limes.
Yeah.
You'd be able to find those where I talk about it, where I used to live all the time, but now I literally don't know. Like, maybe Waitrose sell them. I don't know, but yeah.
When I bought this book from my sister, I think I was home in Ireland at the time, and then I was like looking through the ingredients and I was like, shit, we're never going to get this in Galway. Like, there's no way. And then I came back to London and I went to like an Asian shop and I just basically made her like a flavour care package. Aww. And like got like black lime, amchur, and all this mad shit that like you wouldn't be able to get at home, and posted it home to her. Okay, I bought you this book, but you couldn't make anything from it because you don't have any of the ingredients, so now here are the ingredients. I'm sorry. So yeah, plus one to that being inaccessible. We are going to rate, although we're slightly biased in that we have already declared our love for this, but that's not to say that it's perfect.
But I think that, you know, this is a fun episode because we get to be sweet and loving about a book that we know we're going to be sweet and loving about, which is obviously quite rare for us. Anyway, should I talk about our rating?
Yes, please.
I just want to detract from the fact that I was, you know, nice.
Talking
there.
About being sweet and loving. I'm a little snuck up
If you are a first time listener,
welcome. Caller.
Welcome to the cookbook circle. So every time we talk about a book, because we're not always talking about books this season.
We've diversified
our
offering.
I don't know what's going to say. We've diversified. So every time we talk about a book, we rate the book, and the rating changes in terms of what we rate out of every time. So it's based on the book, the chefs, whatever, you know. We're just trying to add a little bit of zhuzh, a little bit of fun, a little bit of something. And we have five things that we rate on. Mm-hmm. And they are accessibility and usability. That's one.
You flipped. You blazing squadded that.
I blazing squadded that. Shout out to my boy, Mello D. He was my fave. Did I go to see Blazing Squad? Yeah. Yes, sir. I did. Yeah. I had the albums. I had the albums at a time where you couldn't... How many? At least two. But one of their albums was on like... was on CD, obviously, because I'm old. But it was at a time when they didn't want you to like burn CDs, so it was like unburnable.
Oh,
and I don't know. So it meant that
unusual for Blazing Squad. Contradictory.
Ew.
That was on their second album.
One of my favorite things on Blazing Squad is if you look at what they're doing now, and like some of them are just like double glazers and builders. And things like that, and I just got to respect that.
I did too.
You're not rinsing it like old Gary Barlow, who was obviously at that concert last night.
I don't know if we can put Take That and Blazing Squad in the same.
I think we have to. Okay. I did see a funny tweet though that said about Gary Barlow that you know, Gary Barlow turning up to the Coronation concert knowing that he hasn't paid a single penny for any of this. Famously, he doesn't pay his taxes. Anyway, let me talk to you about our rating, less about Blazing Squad. Usability and accessibility, that's one. Also, that all came from the fact that I said that backwards and Blazing Squad had a song called Flip Reverse It. If everyone is very confused at this point.
I
want
to see you work it.
And Blazing Squad, if you've been, look them up. Melody was my favourite. Did you have a favourite?
Did Talisa come from Blazing Squad?
No, they're all men.
I'll talk about it.
Usability and accessibility, that's one. Ingredients, that's the second one. Is it veggie friendly? Aesthetics and inspirability. And this, for this book, Hannah's just looking up Blazing Squad.
I am, and I'm blown away by the fact that there's like cool names like Melody, Flavor, which is actually the guest judge we've asked to come in and rate this.
He's just finished doing my windows.
And Reaper. But then there's just Tom Beasley. Joe Williams. Steve Keenan. They all didn't get the memo on that.
Steve Keegan.
Crossroads. See you at the crossroads.
When you reach a crossroads, where are you going to go?
I mean, as if you have
life's up, life's down. Things can turn around. You know, they really...
Bone Thugs and Harmony. Did some,
yeah, Bone Thugs and Harmony are, you know, they want reparations, frankly, for that.
Oh my God. There were so many members as well, Jen.
So many.
They had 6 top 10 hits. Sorry. This is so... I don't even know if anyone outside the UK will know who they are. Sorry. But you should look them up.
Flip reverse that, lads. And find out. Anyway, we're losing it. We must rate this book.
Sorry. Okay.
I've said the ratings. I'm not going to say them again. But we are going to rate out of lime and the derivatives. Because in basically every recipe in this book, there's either lime,
black lime
leaves, black limes, you know, all the lime gang.
Mm-hmm. Okay, so lime. I'm rating out of lime and its derivatives.
Or just lime leaves and black limes.
Okay, fine, cool. I'll see how that goes. Usability and accessibility, that's one. I think I will give it one. I think some of it might seem intimidating, but actually they are very descriptive in steps and everything. So it doesn't, I feel like they do it well. So also, I mean, like, we've failed to talk about how much of a fang Bottlenecky and how many times I've mentioned Mezcla since
the people know.
You know, yeah, you guys know. Ingredients use, I have to say that, yeah, there is stuff here that might be difficult to get. So maybe I'll take a point off for that.
Listen to you being modest. You just told a story about how you had to gather and send a package of this stuff to be used in this book to your sister in Ireland. And you're like, yeah, I guess maybe you can't find it.
That's actually our new service. When we're speaking about diversifying, we're now offering cookbook circle packages to...
Can you send one to me? I can't get black limes.
Yeah, okay, I'll have to take a point off for that. What's the next one? Aesthetics.
Vegetarian or aesthetics.
Vegetarian, come on, yeah. Like, vegetarian, it is.
Come on.
Come on.
Get a life.
I find I'd be down as well. Yes, it's all vegetarian. Aesthetics. I give it one. The photos are good, but yeah, maybe the cover could be better, but I've never thought that before this conversation, so I'm still going to give it one. And lastly, inspirability. If I could give it like uber bonus points and lick its face, I would.
You just want to get to fives, don't you? You just want to get to five.
I'm not giving it five, Phil, because I don't.
I know, but that's what I'm saying. Like, you want to give it an extra one to get to five.
Yeah, true. I wish I could. I'm going to give it 4 lime, black lime, and lime leaves out of 5 limes and its derivatives. What about you?
Thank you. I'm just going to go the same. I know that maybe we thought I would take one off for aesthetics, but there's just a personal opinion on the cover, and I don't think it's shared. But the pictures of the food are brilliant. There's almost something for everything, which means that you know what it's supposed to look like, which,
yes,
you know, that sounds obvious. But when it's something that you don't know what it should look like, because it's all new,
so
then
new.
You need that.
And the photographer, I've just realized, is Jonathan Lufkin, who usually does Nigel Slater's
I see that, I get it.
And who I once priced for a photo shoot, a 2-hour photo shoot, for a property I used to work for in London. And let me just say, the man is doing well.
Well, clearly. One off for ingredients, but all the others, inspirability, yes, usability and accessibility, I agree with you. Like, it might look scary, and there are some ones that are a bit scary and hard.
The cheese tamales. Yeah. Like, I always think I would love to make them, but there's like 3 pages of that recipe. One day.
So basically, it's 4 lime, black limes, lime leaves, and its derivatives out of 5 from me as well.
Well, that's why we came
here.
What
a book.
It would be a curveball to then suddenly be like 1.
It's 0. I hate this book. I wonder if there's any books that would be like that. Well, probably not for you, because if they got 0 on everything, then like, no, it's not veggie friendly. It's not aesthetic. It's, yeah. Anyway, I wonder if we have any books that would be 0. Like, in our...
I know. But there's so many books that we rated and haven't really loved and still managed to rate in a decent way, because our rating system is very robust.
Oh, that's it.
He was the 11th member of Blazing Squad, by the way.
That was to Lisa. She was robusty. And on that note, we
Thank
will
you
see
listening.
You next time.
We love you.
Definitely
Let
buy
us
this
know.
Book.
Yeah, this is like Cookbook Circle recommends. Maybe that's the episode.
All right, we love you, and we'll see you soon.
Bye.
Thank you so much for listening to this episode of the Cookbook Circle. If you enjoyed it, please subscribe wherever you listen to your podcast and leave us a review, as it helps others to find us and enjoy us. You can see how the recipes from this episode turned out on our Instagram at Cookbook Circle, where you can also get in touch with us, let us know your thoughts, feedback, ideas for episodes, whatever you like. We really love to hear from all of you. So we'll see you next time. Bye.
Bye.
Mom deserves the best, and there's no better place to shop for Mother's Day than Whole Foods Market. They're your destination for unbeatable savings, from premium gifts to show-stopping flowers and irresistible desserts. Start by saving 33% with Prime on all body care and candles. Then get a 15-stem bunch of tulips for just $9.99 each with Prime. Round out Mom's menu with festive rosé, irresistible berry chantilly cake, and more special treats. Come celebrate Mother's Day at Whole Foods Market.